Good morning, St. Paul's. It's a doubly special day. It is Transfiguration Sunday in the life of the church. That is a special pause Sunday between seasons. We are moving on to Lent this Wednesday, which is a great time for me to remind you that if you'd like to start off the Lenten season the best way possible, then on Wednesday at 7 o'clock in the Sunday school room, we will have our Ash Wednesday service. And that is the beginning of Lent. So next Sunday, the 18th, will be the first Sunday in Lent. And then that will also start off our community Lenten services in the evening. The first service on the 18th will be 6 o'clock at Chapel Church. I was going to point. I think that's the right direction, isn't it? That way. I'll get it yet, Dave. I'll get it yet. To Chapel Church, I'll be preaching and invite you guys to come. On the 25th, it will be here, and the pastor at Stonepile, whose name just went out of my head, Bryant Holtzapple, will be preaching here. He's a young, exciting pastor. So those are the Lenten services coming up starting this Wednesday at 7 o'clock in the Sunday School room with Ash Wednesday. I also want to make a note that today's altar flowers this morning are to the glory and honor of God in memory of Dale M. Chronister on what would have been his 90th birthday, February 8th, presented by his wife Dolores and family. Okay. And the other great part of today is Scout Sunday. And we here at St. Paul's have had a very long relationship. The Cub Scouts last year was 100, and it was 100 with the Boy Scouts a couple years ago. Looking for anyone? Yes, I get a thumbs up. So over 100 years, there has been a relationship between us and the Scouts. And with that, I'm going to ask the Scouts to post the colors. Thank you. Let us begin our service this morning, and I ask you to do so by first standing as you're able, and then joining me in the greeting. The Lord be with you. God calls from the heavens above. The heavens declare God's righteousness. I ask you to remain standing for our opening hymn, number 64, Holy, Holy, Lord God Almighty. And while we are singing, the ushers will come along. There are little white cards in your pews, and if you have any prayer requests or joys you'd like to share, and we are, the big word is ecumenical. We don't care who you are, where you come from, what church you may belong to. If you have a prayer request, we'll pray for you. We come now to the time of our service for our prayer concerns and joys. I have several prayer concerns from this week. The first one is prayers for Barry Cease and his family. Barry's mother passed away earlier this week. Lucy Brenneman has some updates on people. For Sarah Hilbert, unfortunately, her new chemotherapy has stopped working. Dee McArdle is doing better, and she is scheduled for just 3 more treatments. It's great when you can start to see the end, isn't it? You can count them down. Kevin Weimer still needs surgery to be scheduled. And Lucy, let's just say she has some cysts behind her knee, and if you've already ever had that, yeah. We wanted to continue prayers for Jody Sprankle's parents. Her mom is still recovering from the stroke, and her father has also a fair share of health issues. Our joy today are scouts, amen? So I thought I'd do this. If you're a present scout, just stay seated through this, except maybe some of your adults. What I want to see is anyone who was ever a member of the PAC 28 or Troop 28 of this church, I'd like you to stand. Okay. Well, let's, okay. Now, you got to stay standing unless your knees don't let you. And I understand that. Now I would like anyone who was ever a Boy Scout, a Cub Scout, a Brownie, a Girl Scout, a Campfire Girl, whatever it is, if you've ever been a Scout anywhere at any time under any organization, please stand. Wow. Scouts, turn around and take a look at how many. Look at that. Thank you, thank you. Please be seated. Just a quick couple words, because I get to do this. I'm a huge supporter of the scouting program, especially at the local level, because that's really where it impacts lives. My oldest son, Daniel, is an Eagle, and my youngest, Timothy, back there is this close to being an Eagle. My wife has been on various Boy Scout committees. I think I helped with a wolf pack a long time ago. We're big supporters because we believe in the value and the impact, positive impact it has in boys and girls. My wife was a Girl Scout and attained the highest award at the time. And every time I ask her this, she tells me, and then I forget what it is. So we'll just say it was the equivalent of the Eagle. So scouting runs in our family, and we are big supporters, and especially of 28 here. And when is the 75th? It's with the Blue and Gold. What date is that?
This Saturday.
This Saturday, 17th. Yep. 17th. So we'll say that again.
3 p.m.
And we'll also be celebrating the 100th anniversary. It's actually, what, 101? Maybe 102? COVID kind of got involved with things. But, I mean, isn't that really neat? 100 continuous years of connection and support. That is awesome. And with that, let us take all of this to our Lord in prayer. Almighty God, you have given us your law so that we might find order in our life and may find order here on earth. And we now stand before you in awe as we sing praises to your great and glorious name. Now you have revealed your glory through your only begotten Son, Jesus. We ask that you fill us now with the power of your Holy Spirit so that we might proclaim his message to all the world. We ask that you grant us the courage, the opportunities, and the words to speak so that we can spread this gospel to all in Red Lion and to the entire world. Lord, make us into bringers of your hope. Now on this day of the revelation of your glory, there are many trapped in darkness. We ask that you break through those barriers and shine your light on those whose bodies are in torment, brighten those whose minds are crowded with fear, comfort those who mourn, and give your promise of eternal life to those who are dying. We ask that you bring them and all of us back into a whole and right relationship with you. And we also want to lift up our great country to you. We continue to pray for all of our leaders at every level. Today we want to especially lift up to you, Lord, Scout leaders, Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Brownies, all who are working with youth, which, as you know and we know, is not an easy thing to do sometimes. And we ask that you bless them and give them strength and give them help, and Lord, continue to lead them. And at this point, we'll take all of this to you with silent prayer. And we pray all of this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who through the Lord's Prayer taught us when to pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right, we come now to the time of the children's message. So may Andrea come forward along with all of the kids.
Good morning, everyone. I know we have some visitors back there, and I saw that they're little, like brothers and sisters of the Scouts. So if they would like to come up and join us, they may, for the children's message, and then I can take them over to children's worship, and that would be ages 3 and up for children's worship. But if they'd like to come up here, that would be great. Good morning, guys. How are you? I missed you last week. I am so sorry. But the germs got to me and I was sick. And I apologize if my voice still doesn't sound 100% back. Hi, how are you? Come up and join us. There you go. You can have a seat right there. Mom's right there. Okay, so let's go with this. Let's get on with the message. You know, we just heard all the Scouts do a pledge and to say their oath and things like that. And I want to compare that to for you guys to be like a promise. Do you know when maybe you are in trouble and mom and dad say, I don't want you to do that ever again. Promise me you're not going to do that again. Well, when you make a promise, you're saying that you will do exactly what that person wants you to do. You will try your best. And when the Scouts do their pledges and their oaths and things like that, they are saying that they're going to do the best to be a Boy Scout and to support the Boy Scout code and do all the things that Boy Scouts do. And I can tell you from being in Girl Scouts, the Girl Scouts do the same thing. They make a promise to the troop, to the leaders, that they will be the best person they can be. And while they're learning from the leaders, they're going to show respect and things. And today, thanks to Joni Horn, I'm going to share a little story today with you because this person that's going to be represented in just a few moments in the video made a promise to us. And that promise that that person made to us was that he would always be by our side to help us during the difficult times and to let us have a shoulder or a hand if we needed some help. So if we can look up at the screen up or the front wall, we're going to watch a little video.
Can I tell y'all about little Jesus? I think it's worth sticking around for another minute because not only was it fun, but it was a great message in it that might encourage you right now. So I get this text this past Saturday afternoon from our 19-year-old daughter, who also serves as our youth leader here at our church. And she says, hey, can I share something in church in both services tomorrow? You know, right after worship and right before you preach your sermon. And I was like, what you got? And she said, oh, well, you'll see when you get here Sunday. I've never had a reason not to trust her. So I said, okay, let's go with it. So I walk in the door on Sunday morning and this is what I saw. There was a little Jesus everywhere, over the doors and on the decor, 200 of them all around the church to be exact. There was even thermostat Jesus, and there was even hand sanitizer Jesus, and balcony Jesus, and y'all, there was even little Jesus in the bathroom. It seems that the youth decided on Saturday evening to put these all over the church, in which one of them said, you know, in real life, we shouldn't be trying to hide Jesus like this. And our daughter Emery said, well, we're not trying to hide him, we're just putting him in places that people least expect to find him.
Oh.
It's crazy because I found myself in some pretty dark valleys before, and a lot of them have been my own choosing, and I turned around and I found Jesus in the midst of somewhere that I never dreamed that I would find him. And just like somebody said on Sunday, a little Jesus goes a long ways. And almost everybody walked out of this place with a little Jesus on Sunday, and you wouldn't believe how many people have messaged me over the last few days saying this is such a great reminder that a little Jesus goes a long ways. And I have no idea where they got them, so if you want one, Google, I need a little Jesus.
Well, we have someone in our church who knows where to get them, and she got them for us because she wants us to remember to have a little Jesus with us in our heart. So all around the sanctuary, there are little Jesus figurines that you may, and that includes all adults too. You may pick them up and take them with you. So you have a little Jesus by your side through the difficult times, through the happy times, and just have him be a part of your life. If you happen to be one of the people who don't have a little Jesus right in front of them to pick up and take with you, Joni Horn will be in the back of the sanctuary at the end, and she has a box full of them. We just wanted to share a little Jesus with you and share the message with you that Jesus is there for you. And I know in the scouting program, the Scouts have been remarkable at being here for St. Paul's Church. They help with all kinds of activities we do here. And frankly, I don't know where we would be without you guys, because you have helped so much. I don't know if I shared this story before, but my father was a pack leader for 28. So I kind of, you know, my mom and my brother would go with my dad. Well, my brother was in the troop, but my mom and I went along and did things. And so I have some fond memories of Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts. So thank you for sticking with us for 100 years. It's been a pleasure hearing your history over the years, being a part of your history. And thank you for being a great role model for these children. So make sure you grab a little Jesus and take him with you at the end of the service. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea. A little Jesus. I love it. Good theology combined with a dad joke. We come now to the time of our service for the giving of our tithes and our offerings. This is another opportunity we have to involve the scouts in our service. So I'm going to call Nicholas Murrow forward, because he is going to be the reader of the prayer of dedication when we get to that. Come on up, Nicholas. We don't bite. So are you going to help him then? Okay. All right. So a reminder that we give not so much to the church, but we give to God through the church, so that God's will and justice and love and the message of redemption through his son, Jesus, will go to all.
Thank you.
Please play with me.
Please play with me. Abundant giver with hearts full of compassion, we come before you ready to share our blessings. As we offer these gifts, we ask for grace to
embody
generosity in all aspects of our lives. May our offering be a reflection to our
boundless
love and kindness, spreading warmth and hope to those in need. Bless these gifts and may they bring forth positive change in the world. Amen.
Before we get to the scripture readings, we take a little pause here for a presentation of the Larry Moore Memorial Boy Scout Fund, and I have some words here. So while I'm speaking, if I already have Cubmaster Andy Murrow here, so if Dave Pinnell, the Scoutmaster, can come up. As many of you may know, Larry Moore and family have been longtime members of St. Paul's. As a youth, he was involved with Scouts and always supported Scouts. I was talking to someone this morning, and he said that Larry came up through the Scouts with a large group of kids, and they kind of went through all the ranks together, and he had such a good time, they continued on to Explorers. And as Explorers, is that 18 or 21? 18 to 21. And they went as far as they could go, and it was so powerful and meaningful to him that when he passed away, he and his family wanted to honor him, and they thought the best way to do that was they set up the Larry Moore Memorial Boy Scout Fund. And so every year since this fund has been established, the troop and the pack have received $2,000. Now, we split that between the two, and the monies are to be used for camp fees and annual fees that Scouts can't afford, to attend camp or dues to join the Scouts. And a note that our first check was presented in February of 2019 during Scout Sunday, so this will be 6 years already. So, if you two could stand up, please. And two. Cub Scouts, thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
And for the Boy Scouts.
Thank you.
I'm first. All right, well, good morning. I guess I get to go first. So I'm Andy, the Cub Master for the pack, and just give our annual report for the year of what we have going on. We want to thank the Larry Moore family. And we want to thank the church for all the support, financial support, everything else that we get from you guys. This year, we have 38 Scouts in the pack at the moment. We have 9 of them that will be crossing over to the troop here in 3 weeks. This summer, we'll be attending summer camp at Shenandoah Area Council, Camp Rock Enon, down in Virginia for the week again. We have a bunch of other camping trips for the year planned, and things at the pack are going pretty good at the moment. So as we talked about in the beginning, this year marks the 75th anniversary for the pack with the church.
I'm sorry, I had that number wrong.
It's 101 years for the troop this year, 75 years for the pack. So the pack started in 1948, has been continuously chartered by St. Paul's through 2023. As some of you know, there's been some politics and stuff at play with the church, scouting, everything else, you know, over the last couple years. And we just want to thank you guys for standing behind us, still continuing to support us. Some of the relationship has had a change as far as the legal end of things goes. However, all went flawlessly. Nothing has affected the program for the boys at all. And for that, you know, we just want to thank you guys. You know, as Andrea talked in the children's message, it's been mentioned numerous times this morning, we need to ask the church, you guys, to continue to pray for us, the scouting program, all the scouting leaders, the hours and stuff that they put in. You know, there was politics at play the other week, and I wrote in a text message to somebody. I said, I just want to go camping and have fun. You know, and at the end of the day, that's basically what we do. We get to go camping, have fun, take the boys places, give them opportunities, stuff that they don't normally get to do. And the support from you guys is what makes that all possible for us. We appreciate it, and we look forward to another 100 years of it going forward. Mr. Dave?
Good morning, everyone. So Mr. Andy does a better job at winging things than I do. I like to have at least something to follow. For those that don't know me, my name is David Pennell. I'm the newly introduced Scoutmaster of Troop 28. Firstly, I want to express my gratitude not just to the congregation, but Mr. Bob, Kevin, and Pastor Chris for allowing us to use the church and the facilities for as long as we have. We've always had such a warm welcoming here at St. Paul's, and especially to the Larry Moore family. We are very grateful for the continued donations over the years. It's allowed several scouts who otherwise wouldn't be able to be involved with the scouting program to be involved. Especially in recent years, we've had some scouts that have had some difficult times, and it's really come through. I wanted to share some statistics from last year with everyone. Last year, scouts in the troop earned a total of 179 merit badges, 22 rank advancements, which four of those were Eagles, and 13 special awards, including cyber chips, supernovas, things in special fields. The troop also went on several trips last year, including Flight 93 Memorial, a weekend in Philadelphia, a weekend at Cape Henlopen, but also we ventured to New York for a wild week at summer camp where it flooded every night. We had a total of 35 scouts and 7 adults, and the recipe for disaster was there for scouts to just implode and homesickness and everything, but they stuck it up, they stuck to it, grinded, and just rolled through it. We had no complaints the entire week from them. So kudos to the boys for getting through that. And this is all possible, not just with the support of the church, but the Larry Moore Foundation. While all these achievements are very important in a scout's career, none are more important than the lessons that these scouts can learn. Career skills, team building, lifelong friendships, life skills, learning that you will fail, and cultivating good values. Having a strong program for so long allows not just the leaders of the troop, but also members of the church and the community to nurture citizenship, provide a safe place to make mistakes, and be a supportive group when life gets hard. I myself have been in scouting for well over 25 years, both as a youth and an adult. Within this unit and working with the church, I have never seen such a supportive and loving group. It is an honor to be here and a privilege to continue this relationship. Thank you all.
To preach.
That could get dangerous.
Thank you, guys. As we get ready to read our scripture, this is another opportunity. That's one. Where's the other? There it is. For us to involve the scouts. And so we have two scouts who will do the Old Testament reading and the epistle reading. You can do that, or I also have it in here, whichever you'd like.
Okay. Old Testament reading is from the second book of Kings, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in the whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha, the Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know what the Lord is going to take your master away from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said, "yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise it will not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared from and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, "My father, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took and hold of his garment and tore it into two.
Our epistle reading is from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 3-6. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made this light shine in our hearts so we can know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ.
I ask you to please stand as you're able for the singing of our Gloria Patri. Please remain standing for our gospel reading, which comes from the Gospel of Mark. We're in the 9th chapter, verses 2-9. Since today is Transfiguration Sunday, let us hear about the Transfiguration. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There, he was transfigured, changed before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Now, Peter said to Jesus, and I love this because this would be us. You know, the disciples weren't greater people than us. They just had better faith, deeper faith, which they got from making all kinds of mistakes. Does that sound familiar? So here's Peter seeing this. He doesn't know what to say at all. And I guess maybe Peter was a scout because his response was, "Let's camp here." Peter says, "Rabbi, you know, it's good for us to be here, so let us put up 3 shelters, tents. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And this is in the Bible. He didn't know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love.
listen to him. I read it that way, but in my head, I hear my parents, you know, listen to your father. Kind of like that. Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of our Lord, to which we say, thanks be to God and amen. I ask you to please remain standing for our praise hymn, Sanctuary, and we'll sing that through twice because it's a short song. Well, on Scout Sunday, you have to have a cartoon that involves a scout, amen? So, Transfiguration Sunday. The church liturgical seasons, they have major seasons. The two major seasons, of course, are going up to Easter and going up to Christmas. Each one of these two major holidays have a season of preparation. The season of So let me do this as a quiz for those of you. The season of preparation for Christmas is called Advent. And the season for preparation for Easter is called Lent. Happens every year. So between these seasons, to separate them, there's a pause. I call them a pause Sunday. And every one of these pause Sundays have something particular to do with an event in the life of Jesus, but also where Jesus is revealed to be the Messiah, the Son of God, our Lord and Savior. So this one is Jesus goes up on the mountain, and all of a sudden he's transfigured. Big word. It's good to have big words, isn't it? Meaning changed before him. And they see him. Now this is where it gets a little tricky. They see not the human Jesus, they see Christ. One and the same, but they see the real Jesus, Christ. Now, standing next to him, all of a sudden, are Moses and Elijah. Who are Moses and Elijah? They are Old Testament figures. They are giants in the Old Testament. Moses, he's the one who went up to Mount Sinai and came down with the commandments. And Elijah, we just heard the end of. Elijah was this great prophet, did great things. So what this signifies is that Jesus is Lord of not only all the laws of Moses, but also of all the prophets. All of that come under Jesus. And as I said when I was reading it, Peter, poor Peter, he doesn't know what to make out of all this, so he defaults and says, well, why don't we camp here for a while? And again, I love that. I don't want to make fun of Peter, but the disciples being human, I love that, because if someone like Peter can become the rock, there's hope for all of us, amen? But these pause Sundays are also to get us to remember that Jesus is the Christ. Because these are two different things. They're combined, but we, in the millennia since, have tried to separate the two things out. In fact, you can find all kinds of teachings today. Well, no, the Christian church made all that stuff up. Jesus was just a good teacher and blah, blah, blah. So these Sundays are to remind us that, no, he really is the Christ. But I want to take a, it's going to be a little quick this morning. And I want to talk about this because this is important. And I think too often churches have not acknowledged that people have doubts and people have questions. And that the church of all places should be the place for people to go when they have doubts and questions. And we better have some answers. Amen? We should all be able to answer if somebody comes up to us and says, hey, was Jesus just a good teacher or was he really the Son of God? And not just to say, hold your tongue, you know? So I want to talk a little bit about this. You know, even Jesus gets to this in a different place in the Bible. He asks his disciples, who do you say that I am? I think this is the most important question in life, period, for us to answer. I want to start with some basic historical facts. I want to tell you that there existed a Jesus from Nazareth who over 2,000 years ago lived and preached in the Galilean region. He ran afoul of the Romans and was crucified and killed. There's not a single credible historian in the world that denies that. Okay? It is a fact. So the question isn't, did Jesus really exist? The answer is absolutely yes. The question is, who was he? Again, this is the most important question for us because it makes all the difference in this world and the next. Amen? Who do you say that I am? So if he existed, I'm going to use something from C.S. Lewis. Some of you have seen this before. And I lost my train of thought. So we'll just get into this. Let's break this down. Because we proclaim and state that Jesus said that he was the Lord, the Son of God. So that leaves us three logical options on who Jesus really was. Because he said, I'm the Lord. Okay. So, logically, he's either a liar, a lunatic, or he is the Lord. Now, I suppose some people might be a little shocked that a pastor is entertaining the question of whether Jesus was a liar or a lunatic, but we do so because we acknowledge that that's what some people in the world say. Okay? So, if he proclaims himself Lord, there's only three options on this. He either isn't the Lord, which means he's either the liar or the lunatic. A lie, you may remember, is when somebody tells an untruth and he knows it's an untruth. So either he said he was the Son of God and he knew he wasn't, which makes him a liar, right? Okay, by the way, you know where I'm going with this, right? He is the Lord. We're exploring this. Or he proclaimed himself the Son of God. He wasn't, but really thought he was. What does that make him? Makes him a lunatic. Or he was the Lord. There's no two grounds. This idea that people put that Jesus was a great teacher, but he wasn't the Son of God, doesn't mix because he said, I'm God. Okay? So what is he? Well, we have all these stories passed down to us over 2,000 years. And I like to tell people there's one easy, big way to tell who he really is. Is the tomb empty? Jesus said, I'm going to be crucified. 3 days later, I'm going to rise again. Now, I'm a little bit of a historian, and you'd be surprised at how many people through history have proclaimed that they would rise again. Really is astounding. How many have done it? One. How do we know he did it? Guess what? The tomb is empty. That's pretty powerful truth, isn't it? Died on a cross for us, rose from the dead, he said it would be, and he was. So he wasn't lying. When he said he was the Son of God, he really was the Son of God, is the Son of God. And this is what these pauses are to remind us, because we can get caught up in the personhood of Jesus and forget sometimes that he really is Christ with the ability and power to save us. Those are powerful things. And some basic things that we learn about Jesus, and the most powerful thing I ever want to share with anyone is this. We could screw our lives up royally. Amen? We can mess them up to the point where we think we have no hope. Amen? In Jesus, there's always hope. Always. I've lived it. I preach it. It is. Now, sometimes we want to get out of those situations without consequences. However, Jesus created consequences. We may have to live with those consequences. But there is always a way out through Jesus. No matter where you are, no matter how lost you are, if you listen to stories people tell, he is still performing miracles. I hear stories of people, and they say this, I was an addict. I was a gambling addict. I was a drug addict. I was a cigarette addict. I was an alcoholic addict. I was a porn addict. I was this or that. And I prayed to Jesus because I was a horrible person. And all of a sudden, I didn't need to gamble. I didn't need to drink. Now, those are remarkable ones. And not everyone has them. But sometimes Jesus will yank us up out of the mud, and sometimes he pulls us slowly up out of the mud. But he will always pull us. Because Jesus is God. And Jesus has the power to save. And I want you to be able to take that home with you and understand. Because sooner or later, you have to come back to that question. Who is Jesus? Not who do I say Jesus is. Who do you say Jesus is? And when you realize he is the Lord, it's got to change things, right? That should change things in our lives. Wherever you are, whatever you've done, there is hope in Jesus. And I hope that some of our visitors today who may not be part of any church will find a church family. And I know sometimes church families can be a little toxic. I won't ask for an amen on that. Okay? I'll give you the very short version of this. When I was in high school, the church I belonged to was very toxic and threw out two pastors in a row for very bad reasons. And I swore up and down when I was a senior in high school that if that was what organized religion was all about, I wanted nothing to do with it. Pause for the irony as the pastor tells you this. I realized later on I made a big mistake. I threw out the church, because I stopped going to any church. I threw out the church of Christ because of a church. And I want to give you a heads up on that. There are some toxic places. There are toxic people who come to church. And by the way, where should toxic people come but to church to find Christ? Don't give up the church of God, the church of Christ, for a particular church that is toxic. And you know, I've heard all the excuses too about not coming to church. There's a bunch of hypocrites there. Yes, there is. Room for one more. Because tell me, have you ever met somebody who could 100% live up to the ideals that they preach? No. Yeah, we're hypocrites. We're trying not to be. Would you like to join us? Come find Jesus. If you found him, continue in your faith walk. He is the Lord. He is the Messiah. He can and will save you. He will give you peace. He will give you strength. He may not make life easy for you because, boy, we can make it difficult for ourselves. Amen? But he's there with us. And going through troubles with somebody is a lot easier too, right? On these pause Sundays, we ask ourselves, who was Jesus? The stories are to help us. He is the Christ. He is the Lord. And with him, we can put our whole trust and soul into him. We don't have to turn our brains off. We can come to him with all we are, whoever we are, with whatever horrible thing we've done. And by the way, we have some great people in the Bible who did horrible things. Moses, there on Transfiguration Sunday, right? Moses killed a person. David, we've got kids here, but David broke most all of the commandments at one time or another. Elijah wanted to quit. The disciples, they didn't get it. And yet they were there, and the love and power and grace of Christ changed their lives. And that's what Jesus calls you to, and that's what I call you to, in whatever church family you may find. Who is Jesus? Who do we say he is? I hope and pray that one day, if not today, you can say, he is my Lord and Savior. Amen. Once we accept that, we can go on and tell his stories to others. I try to work on these segues. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. So I'm going to ask you to please stand as you're able for our closing song, number 156, I Love to Tell the Story.
Oh,
the scouts forward because our benediction is going to be them singing their vespers, or however you guys have decided to do that. So as you come forward, let me remind you on your way out to make sure you have a little Jesus in your life.